We want to invite you to subscribe to the Davis Park Church of Christ YouTube channel. Hit the little bell icon, and that'll give you updates when we go live. We have to get started. Mike Ruskamp, one of our shepherds, is going to come up and kick everything off at 10:45. Again, thanks for joining us.
Church, what a different situation we're in today. But if you're looking at me now, hopefully it's better than looking at the wall. Anyway, when I started thinking about what to say and welcome to you guys, I just wanted you to know that there were people throughout history. Paul, for example, wrote a letter to Timothy. And 2 Timothy, he was in prison. And here he's trying to write a letter to cheer and encourage someone else. So I can't say that I'm in prison, nor are you. But sometimes it feels like that because of the things that we have to do here today. So I just want to encourage you from wherever you are that you can make a difference to everyone else that's out there. Maybe make 5 calls a day or make your own record of how many you should do. But we can encourage you. You can encourage one another with these words. In his second letter, he begins by assuring Timothy of his continuing love and prayers. Soldier, an athlete, a farmer, or minister of Jesus Christ will reap the rewards. In 2 Timothy 3, he says, I thank God, whom I serve with a pure conscience, as of forefathers did, as without ceasing. I remember you in my prayers day and night, greatly desiring to see you, which we can't see you right now. You can see us, but we do desire to see you, and we are praying for you, greatly desiring to see you. Being mindful of your tears, that you may be filled with joy, when I call to this remembrance with genuine faith that is you. We just want you to know that we care about you. We have a lot of people working diligently here at the building, your ministers and your staff, to support this work that we're doing here today. So I want you to pray for them, encourage them with your words and with your with the things that you think about, and knowing that you're not in prison, and knowing that God's will be done throughout this. No matter what's going on, it's God's will. And no matter what's going on, you will be safe with his love, his peace, his kindness, his gentleness, the mercy that he has for you, everything that will give you peace. So would you bow with me as we open this service in prayer? Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you, dear Lord, for this day. It's a difficult day, but we know that you're in charge of it all. We know that you've created everything. We know that you know what's going to happen tomorrow. And we pray, dear Lord, as we pray this prayer, that you comfort the hearts that are out there in the audience, the ones that are listening and the ones that didn't have time to listen. So I pray, dear Lord, that you'd encourage them, that you'd give them strength, and that you'd help them to be examples like Paul did to Timothy, even though he was in prison. I ask, dear Lord, that you'll help us to be the workers that you would have us be, whether it said farmers or whatever it is that we do. Be with the ones that are taking care of the business, dear Lord, the hospitals, the nurses. I would ask also that you be with the firemen and the police and all those people, the critical people that just can't be put away. They can't go into quarantine. So I pray, dear Lord, that you'll be with each one of them, that you'll help them through this situation to maybe become to know you in what's going on. They say, I remember it talks about in Ruth, for such a time as this, maybe this is the time that someone will be, you know, come to know you just because of what's going on today. And if that's the case, wonderful. And no matter what it is, it's going to happen. And you care for us, and you are in control of all these things. So dear Lord, I just ask, dear Lord, as you're with all of us today, as we do this service, that you'll be with my brother Nick as he does the lesson, that you'll be with our brother Buddy as he's in the back arranging all of this, that you watch over us, dear Lord, and that you'll continue to give us strength to carry on and be healthy and do the things that you want us to do. We thank you for your love. We thank you for the encouragement. And we thank you for all these things. Thanks.
Tender voice like thine, and me.
To our broadcast this morning. We are certainly glad you are there with us. We've noticed that we have about 65 streams going on right now. So a lot of you are out there that are enjoying this. I hope the song selection is good for you. If you have suggestions for songs during the week, if you'll email me, message me, call me, we want to make this your broadcast also. We want this to be as good as it can be for everyone concerned. Today we have several people that we want to mention in prayer. One of the things that we have to remember is that just about everywhere in the world, Christian worship has gone to live stream. I've been reminded about that by Jack Hairston this morning as he's asked me to pray for Solomon Ranju in India. He's a preacher in India, and what he is asking us to do, because as the people are isolated from the churches there, they're also isolated from their food source. So there is a famine going on in India right now because of the fact that they cannot get to their food source because they're on government quarantine. My good friend Bantha Raju, also at the Kempali Church of Christ, is live streaming messages. I saw his last night as he was preaching his heart out in a language that I don't understand, but I could see the fervency of the message that he is bringing to his people. And that's what we want to do also, let you know that just because we are live streaming doesn't mean that we're neglecting our community here. We handed out over 50 lunches this last week because you were able to give us money to buy stuff to hand out. And we're doing it in a safe manner. We're keeping our distance as required. And so we're trying to make sure that we can still minister to those that are hungry and those that need food during this time. We want to also remember the people of Jonesboro, Arkansas this morning in our prayers. In the midst of this crisis of social, where we're social distancing, they've been brought closer together because a storm came through their town and literally blew it apart. And so our hearts go out to you in Jonesboro this morning. We pray you to actually be able to withstand this. We want to thank God this morning that Sheila Walls got good news in her conference hall. She does not have lung cancer. She still has other cancer issues that are on the table, but praise God, she doesn't have lung cancer. Also, we prayed about Edith last week. Edith is now at home, and she's being ministered to by her family. She's not isolated away from them, and I know that Pam and her daughters are happy that they can go take care of Edith at this time. Also, Allegria Rice has let us know that she has to have a biopsy. She has had breast cancer in the past. And there's something going on in the scan that she had recently. And so the doctors want to take a look. They're going to do a biopsy. And we pray that that biopsy comes back negative.
Right now, that's all the different prayer requests. If during the week you want to send in a prayer request, together for prayer every night at 7 o'clock on Facebook Live. We will be glad to pray for your prayer needs at that time. Send those to either Nick or myself. My number is 209-380-3851. Please call me, message me, do whatever you need to do to get in contact with me. So right now, if you'll pray with me. Lord God, we lift up all the churches around the world that have gone to live streaming. Lord, this is difficult for a lot of us because we just were not using that technology at the time. But now, Lord, you have said it is time for live streaming to become a way for your word to be taken to the masses. And Lord, we hear your message and we're doing that. Lord, we pray for Solomon and for Bantha Raju in India. We pray that their ministries will thrive during this time of pestilence, Father. We ask you to keep them well-resourced so that they can help as many people as possible. Father, for the people in Jonesboro, reach out to them this morning with our hearts, Father. We ask you to take care of them and help them during this crisis within a crisis. Father, for Sheila, we praise you for the good news that you've given us. And Lord, also for Edith, as she's been able to come home. Lord, we thank you for good news. We thank you for showing us how you continue to work through these various events. And Father, for Allegria Rice, who is going to be having a biopsy this week. Lord, we pray that you will make sure that that's negative, that she can be anxiety-free, and that she can have peace. Lord, I ask you to be with the staff here as we minister at a distance, as we continue to try to touch the lives that we can touch with your word. Lord, as you give us new venues to reach out, Lord, help us to explore them. And Lord, help us to exploit them. Help us to be able to take the message where you want it taken. Lord, I thank you for our elders and our shepherds at this time. Lord, they're trying to figure out also how to minister to their sheep in the midst of this crisis. Lord, I ask you to continue to help them to thrive in this time. Lord, I ask you to give us a spirit of peace this morning as we are in the midst of worship service here. Lord God, we thank you for all that you do. We pray in Jesus' most holy name. Amen.
You want to turn in your Chronicles chapter 15. We will be reading the first seven verses of chapter 15. The Bible says, "The Spirit of God came upon Azariah, the son of Obed, and he went out to meet Asa and said to him, 'Hear me, Asa, and all Judah and Benjamin. Yahweh is with you while you are with him. If you seek him, he will be found by you. But if you forsake him, he will forsake you.' For a long time, Israel was without the true God and without a teaching priest and without law. But when in their distress they turned to Yahweh, the God of Israel, and sought him, he was found by them. In those times, there was no peace to him who went out or to him who came in, for great disturbances afflicted all the inhabitants of the lands. They were broken in pieces. Nation was crushed by nation and city by city, for God troubled them with every sort of distress. But you, take courage. Do not let your hands be weak, for your work shall be." Let us pray. God, we live in distressing times, and we don't know exactly what to do. Teach us through your word this morning, and from this account in the history of Judah, we pray through Christ our Lord. Amen. Several years ago, my first year of preaching school, I lived in a small one-bedroom apartment. It was approximately 535 square feet, and these apartments weren't the best. Seedy begins to approach how kind of run down these apartments were. Not a very good clientele, but it was sufficient for me, a single guy living on my own, not a lot of income at the time. To give you just kind of an idea of what these apartments were like, they were two-story units, and there were two buildings that were face each other across a parking lot. One night I came in, I don't remember exactly where I was studying at a friend's house, something like that. I pull into my parking stall, I get out, I look across the parking lot, and I see just the lit end of a cigarette up in the dark shadows of the second story across the way. Someone was taking a cigarette, and it was just, it was really creepy, all right? One night I was awakened at 2 o'clock in the morning to loud hip hop music. I remember the artist because this artist likes to say his name a lot during his songs. It was Mike Jones. Mike Jones was blasting the speakers of my neighbor upstairs, and it woke me up 2 o'clock in the morning. I couldn't get back to sleep for the next hour until finally at 3 o'clock they shut the music off. I don't know why. Maybe the police were called because my neighbor was disturbing the peace. Mike Jones was disturbing the peace that night. And maybe you have a story like that. Maybe it was your neighbor in your apartments. Maybe it was your neighbor down the street next door. I don't know. But they were disturbing the peace. Maybe it was you during a different. You know, our peace has been disturbed here in recent weeks. Once again, we are having to meet electronically, meet with my brothers and sisters, but we can't do it right now as we live under these stay-at-home orders. Our peace has been disturbed. And if that's not enough, those times are distressing. You think about how our, in the global figure, it eclipsed over 500,000 this week for those who are affected by the coronavirus. The stay-at-home orders, they don't appear to be going away anytime soon. They will continue for the next several weeks. These are distressing times that we are living in. And as we turn our attention to 2 Chronicles 15, there were distressing times in Judah, the southern kingdom. Their peace was being disturbed. And the message that was communicated to them was that in times of distress, you need to seek God. That's what they were instructed to do at this point in their sacred. You this morning, in distressing times, we also need to seek out God. The prophet, we don't know a lot about him, but he shows up in verse 1 here, and he begins his message by pointing out that abandoning God will lead to distressing times. That's where he begins, is that by telling the people, abandoning God leads to distressing times. The Spirit of God is upon Azariah, and that shows us he is a true prophet of God. And so through the prophet Azariah, God is going to explain to them why their peace, why the people of Judah, why their peace has been disturbed. Meet Asa, which I think is instructive for us. We need to take advantage of the opportunities that come our way. We need to take the initiative. We have the greatest news ever. And so we need to take the initiative and do our best to meet people where they are. I digress. Asa has a very cogent and salient message. It's a principle which the Bible together, Old Testament and New Testament. And it's this: Yahweh is with you while you are with him. Yahweh is with you while you are with him. He goes on and he says, you know, if you seek God out, you will find him. Seeking God, what a fantastic thing. It truly brings a reward. We know that God rewards those who seek him. Hebrews 11 and verse 6 tells us that God rewards those who diligently seek him. And there is nothing greater than to find God, to seek him out and find him. That is a reward in and of itself. But you know, as much as that is true, the inverse is true as well. He says, if you forsake him, he will forsake you. If you abandon God will abandon you. If you refuse to seek him out, you're not going to find him. In fact, you will find that he's left you. And that's what Azariah is communicating here in verse 3. And he points back to their own history. Most commentators agree that what Azariah is pointing to is the time of the judges. In the time of the judges, The people of Israel, he says, they were without the true God. And that doesn't mean that God didn't exist. What it means is the people were living like atheists, without God, as though God didn't exist. They were living their lives refusing to acknowledge God. Without the true God, that may indicate that they were living like pagans. Every other God except for the true God. God still existed. But Israel was living their lives as though he didn't need honor, as though he didn't exist, or as though there were other gods. Well, if that wasn't bad enough, Azariah goes on and he talks about not only was the situation godless and not only was there paganism involved, he says that there were no teaching priests. They were without teaching priests there in verse 3 as well. Ignorance reigned among the people of God. They didn't know the law of God because they were not being taught. Again, it doesn't mean there weren't elders and there weren't priests. There were, but they weren't teaching the pure law of God. And also, they were without the law. They were living lawlessly. Again, it's not that they didn't have the law. Sinai had happened. God had given them the Ten Commandments, but they were living without the law. They were, it's kind of like what we hear today, isn't it? This is my truth. Your truth is your truth. It's good for you. My truth is good for me. And we really don't want to cross those two together. Everyone is kind of a law unto themselves. And so since they know the law, they weren't practicing the law. Atheism, paganism, ignorance, lawlessness, these are all indicators of anarchy. And that's what we're going to see is it was times of distress. There were disturbances all over Judah and Israel. We'll see that in the next couple of verses. But the people had forsaken God and God had abandoned them. He had turned them over to their own imaginations. Man, that principle there, if you abandon God, he will abandon you. When Israel did abandon God during the time of the judges, things got really bad. You can read the book of Judges this week. Got plenty of time to do it as you live under stay-at-home orders. But you can see that cycle that plays out as they experience distress and chaos and turmoil during the time of the judges. You know, it makes me wonder kind of about our present situation. Is it possible that we are presently experiencing this time of distress and disturbance because many have forsaken God? It's not popular to think that way these days, but nevertheless, there's precedence here. There's a principle established in Scripture that if you abandon God, he abandons you. And when we consider that there are so many who do not worship the true God, that there are so many who they don't teach the true gospel of Christ, that there are so few who truly follow the law of liberty in Christ Jesus, it should at least give us pause, I think, and consider what's really going on here. What's really in back of all these distressing times? I don't want to be dogmatic about it, but again, it just something to think about, something that I think about at least. God will lead to distressing times. What should we do in those times of distress? Well, we see here, beginning in verse 4, we during those distressing times. In times of distress, it is vital that we seek out God and that we stay with God. We pick up here in verse 4 and we see that in those times of distress, when they were in their distress, the people of Israel turned to God and they sought him out. When times were the darkest, that's when the people turned to Yahweh and when they sought him out. Unfortunately, it was only when the time was darkest that they did that, but nevertheless, they did. They turned to God, and he wasn't distant and he wasn't aloof, disinterested and disconnected. No, the text says that he was found by them, the people of God. They found him when they turned to him and when they sought him. That's a typical formula that you see in the book of Judges. That the people, they would abandon God and times of distress would come upon them because of their sin. They would turn to Yahweh, cry out to God for deliverance. And then he would send a deliverer, a judge, to save his people. And for the lifetime of that judge, there would be times of peace. And the people would have peace during those years. But it wasn't too long after that that they turned right back to the same foolishness that got them in the mess in the first place. That was a typical formula during the time of the judges. But when times were distressing, verse 5, There was no peace for the one who went out and the one who came in. And also there were great disturbances that afflicted all the inhabitants of the monarchy. That's the picture here in verse 5, disturbing the peace. There was no peace among the people. There were great disturbances in land. And in fact, everyone was affected by it. All the inhabitants of the land were affected by those great disturbances. And so verse 6 says that they were broken in pieces. You could say that peace was broken into pieces. There was, on the one hand, international upheaval, as it was the Moabites or the Ammonites or some other group of ites that would come against the people of Israel during the time of the judges. So on the large scale, you had international upheaval. And then on the local scale, there was community disturbances, local disturbances among the people. But here's what's interesting to me. You get a theological principle in verse 6, where we read that nation was crushed by nation, city by city, for God troubled them with every sort of distress. Did you catch that? Who was it that was causing the distress? It was not the government. It was not the king. It was not some foreign army. It was God who was troubling Israel. It was God who was bringing every sort of distress. I want you to see here God's sovereignty on display. God was disturbing their peace. And you may wonder, well, why was God doing that? Why would God do that to the people that he loved? He would cause those distressing and disturbing situations so that his people would turn to him and that they would seek him out and find him. And when they sought him, he would be found by them. Let's call it the compassionate sovereignty of Yahweh, our God. He wanted his people to repent. He wanted them to turn to him. He wanted them to seek him out and find him. And so to do that, he had to disturb their peace. He had to cause the distressing situation. I've heard it illustrated like this. Suppose there's a young man and he likes a young woman. He wants to woo her and win her. And so they may go on dates, and one day he may take her on us to the amusement park. And he will get on, the two of them will get on the biggest roller coaster they have. And when that roller coaster is dipping and diving and going all over the place, guess what that young woman is doing? She is getting closer and closer, drawing closer and closer to that young man. You see, he's arranged the situation so that he can get close to her. But to do that, they had to get in the distressing situation of the roller coaster. And you know, that's kind of what it's like with God here. In order to woo and win Israel, he wanted to be close to her. He would create these distressing situations so that in the time of distress, his people would draw close to him for security and for safety. And don't miss this. Even though, yes, if you abandon God, he will abandon you. God was right there in the midst of the distress, waiting for his people to turn to him, to seek him and to find him. And then he was found by his people. And again, I think about our present situation with COVID-19 and the coronavirus. And also even yesterday, Jonesboro, Arkansas. You know, it may be that God is at this present time afflicting us with all sorts of stress and distress and disturbances. I mean, if God is sovereign, at some point the buck stops with him, right? Now, whether he's directly involved in it or indirectly involved in it, it's vital that we turn to the Lord and that we seek him out during this time. We know that he's not far from each one of us. Paul says that in Acts chapter 17. And as already mentioned, God, he rewards those who seek him. He rewards those who diligently seek him. Hebrews 11 and verse 6. And so we need to seek God out. And one way that we can do that is we can seek God's face in prayer. That's one of the reasons why each night at 7 p.m. we spend time, Pacific Daylight Time, we spend time at 1900 hours praying about the coronavirus, seeking God's face in prayer during these distressing times. Yeah, that's a good way, is through prayer to seek out God and to find him. Again, when we seek God in distressing times, we need to do that. But when we do that, that's when God will strengthen us and we can do the work that he has for us. That's what verse 7 is about, is that in times of distress, We can be strong and can do the work that God has for us. Azariah tells Asa, be strong, take courage, do not let your hands be weak, or don't quit. Don't stop doing what you need to do. We see that Asa has his work cut out for him. Asa is king over Judah, the southern kingdom. His great grandpa had been Solomon, that great king, over the last monarch over the United Kingdom. We know that Solomon, late in life, he didn't fully commit to God. In fact, he led the people away into gross idolatry. 1 Kings chapter 11 chronicles that. His son Rehoboam, he repeats the sins of his father, and he leads Judah to do what was evil in the eyes of Yahweh. 1 Kings 14 verses 22 through 24 tells us. And that has to do with idolatry as well. And then his son, Abijah, he committed all the sins of his father, all the sins his fathers had done before him. And his heart, like Solomon's, was not fully devoted to Yahweh, his God. We read that in 1 Kings 15 and verse 3. That is the heritage that Asa inherits as the son of Abijah. He has his work cut out for him because he's going to lead reform. Southern kingdom. He's going to break the hereditary chains, as it were, of sin and disobedience. But notice what Azariah tells him. Your work shall be rewarded. You got your work cut out for you, Asa, but if you do the hard work of reform, that work will be rewarded. And you know, I think about, on the one hand, first of all, the hereditary chain of sin. That's a real thing. It is hard to break those chains of disobedience. It's so easy to fall back into the patterns of your parents or your grandparents or your great-grandparents. And the futile ways of generational sin, they can bind us and they can tighten around us. Perhaps Asa felt the chains tightening around him, but those chains can be broken, in his case through Yahweh, in our case through the blood of Jesus. I'm on. And verses 18 and 19, knowing that you were ransomed from ways inherited from your forefathers, not with perishable things such as silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without blemish or spot. It is the precious blood of Jesus that is able to break the hereditary chains of sin, the generational sin that can bind us. I want to encourage you, if you are not a Christian, to flee to Christ, to obey the gospel, to have your life washed in the blood of Jesus so that those hereditary chains of sin, those generational sins, can be broken. You don't have to continue in the futile ways inherited by the forefathers. You can be ransomed, rescued by the blood of Jesus. That is the beauty of the gospel of Christ. And I also think about Asa. He's about to lead reform. You know, there are many who are talking, crisis with COVID-19 is over. After the coronavirus has done its thing, church is not going to be the same after this crisis is over. And perhaps that's right. And if it is, my brothers and sisters, we have our work cut out for us. We have our work cut out for us on the other side of this present crisis. In Asa's day, they did the hard work of reformation. And similarly, there will be heavy lifting once this crisis is over, that we as the church must engage in. When we're no longer sheltering in place, when we're no longer under stay-at-home orders, that's when we have our work cut out for us as we come back together. Yeah, I think it's good to start imagining, envisioning, what is the church going to look like? What, you know, once and things like that, that's when what is really important comes to the forefront. What's the mission of the church going to look like? The mission is going to stay the same, but it'll take a different form, won't it? And as we develop these digital platforms, how's that going to play into us fulfilling the mission of God? As we continue to do the necessary work of reformation, we have our work cut out for us. But hear the word of the Lord. Be strong. Take courage. Don't quit. Do not allow your hands to become weak. Your work will be rewarded. Our work will be rewarded when we come out on the other side of this. In the meantime, brothers and sisters, I want to encourage us to, we need to turn to him and we need to seek him out. We need to invite others to do that. to seek him out during these times of distress. One good way that we can seek out our God, even today, which we're going to do in a few moments, is by gathering at the table. And so right now we're going to listen to a song, Holy, 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 and that is going to prepare our hearts as we draw near to God in communion. Let me pray briefly, and then let's prepare our hearts for communion. Lord, help us to hear your word. These are distressing times, but it is so good to know that we can draw near to you, we can seek you out, and we can find you even and especially in times of distress. Enable us to do that. Strengthen us, Father, so that our hands do not become weak and we can do the work that we pray this through Christ our Lord. Amen.
I'm excited this morning that I am coming together with each of you through electronic means where we can have communion with one another. I know that on the screen right now it says that there are some 75. I know in 75 households around 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 6, Paul is talking here and he says, "Now, brothers, I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you, which you received and on which you have taken your stand. By this gospel you are saved if you hold firmly to the word I preach to you. Otherwise, you have believed in vain. For what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried and that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures. And then he appeared to Peter and then to the 12. And after that, he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers at the same time, most of whom are still living, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles, and last of all, he appeared to me also as to one abnormally born." And after Paul, the message continued, and it was shared from person to person to person. And someone came at some point in your life and shared that message with you, a message of a death, a burial, and a resurrection. And this message of a death, a burial, and a resurrection is what we actually memorialize as we take communion. You see, Jesus Christ sacrificed his body by hanging on a cross. And on that cross, as he bled and as he suffered and as he died, he paid for our sins. But and that would be a sad story if the story ended there. You see, he died, and he was buried. But then he was resurrected. And so this morning, what we want to first of all do is remember that body of Jesus Christ that was on that cross that paid for our sins. And I know this morning it's not as pleasant as it would be if we were in the auditorium and we were breaking the matzos and the crackers together with one another. There's such a satisfying feeling as you get to do that. But today we have what I call the combo cup. And this is I don't say that jokingly, because see, on the top of it, if you pull the tab back, right here, you have the body of Christ. You have the body of Christ, the body that paid for your sins. So if you'll pray with me. Lord God, we thank you for that body that went to the cross that paid for our sins. Lord, we thank you so much that that body didn't just go into a tomb, but Lord, that the tomb is now empty. Lord God, we thank you for all that you have done for us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, taking the cup, we simply open it up, okay? And in this, we have the representative blood of Jesus Christ. And remember when I talked about the cross a minute ago? Remember, they had slashed him. They had gashed him. They had beaten him. They had spat upon him. But his blood washes away all of our sins. And so each of you that are out there right now, I get to join with you as you drink of this cup and remember the blood of Jesus Christ that covered all of your sins, if you will. If you'll pray with me. Lord God, thank you for each of my brothers and sisters in Christ. Thank you for the commitment that they've made to stand firm, to stand with you during this crisis. Lord God, we just ask you to continue to bless us to be able to bring this live streaming event to each of them each week. And Lord, also, we thank you for our telephones and our various other means where we can communicate with one another. Lord, I ask you right now to put your arms around us and draw us close together. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.